Hey, y'all. Let's take a look today at Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. And they were bringing children to him, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. So remember, we're in this section in the Gospel of Mark in which Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And along the way, he's teaching his disciples about what it means to be a disciple. And there's this pattern that emerges. Jesus predicts his death, says he's going to die. And then what comes out of the disciples after that is usually antithetical or opposite to what it means to be a disciple. So he says, "Take up your cross and follow me." And the disciples say, "Hey, Jesus, we told them to stop doing that stuff in your name because they weren't with us." And Jesus says, "No, that's not the way I'm doing it." People come and say, "Hey, Jesus, Moses said we could divorce." And Jesus says, "No, I came to restore marriage to what God intended it to be before the fall through my grace." So again, it's important to understand that Jesus is teaching along the way of discipleship, along the way to the cross, and his disciples are usually emerging as pretty dull. And no more so than in this incident here. It's a famous incident. There's a lot of sort of popular Sunday school art about it. But I want to focus on a couple of things about this section. First, notice that it comes right after the section about marriage. So the prior section in Mark is, at first it looks like it's about divorce, but really it's about marriage. And Jesus' message there is that marriage is a very much a part of being a disciple. It's very much a part of the kingdom. When we come into the kingdom of God through Jesus, when we receive his grace, his help, we can now see our marriage and our responsibilities in marriage and receive grace to live them as God intended them to live. So the prior section is on marriage, and now this section is on children. So see the connection there. Jesus is drawing this sort of natural flow between marriage and God's design for marriage and his intentions for marriage, and then the natural outcome of that is children. It's as if we're back in Genesis when God made Adam and Eve, and then he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." So a couple things about this, "Let the children come, don't hinder the children." First of all, I would simply say at a very natural level that this is an underlining and a reiteration of the original creation mandate that mankind should be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It's God's desire for us, for married Christians, to have kids. And so at one level, it's just an underlining of that. It has been a temptation in Christianity to see singleness as the only way, or maybe the best way. And Paul sort of hints at that. But I think Jesus is here saying, no, you absolutely can be a disciple. You absolutely can take up your cross. And one of the ways you take up your cross in marriage is by having kids and receiving them. And this is really important in a world in which fewer and fewer people are having kids around the world. You know, when I was a kid in high school, they talked about overpopulation. The real danger now, if you pay attention to people who are studying this, is that we are going to have a catastrophic population decline. So at some natural level, Jesus is just saying, man, have kids, because that is a blessing from God. But then secondarily, he's saying, no, guys, the life of discipleship isn't this life where the adults do important stuff and the kids are out of the picture. Kids are right in the middle of it. It's important to note that when the disciples stop the kids from coming, it says that Jesus was indignant. This is the strongest emotional word for being upset that is used of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, when the disciples keep kids out of the picture. So in another way, Jesus is saying, guys, central to the life of discipleship, central to the kingdom of God, is children and welcoming children and passing on the kingdom of God to them. If we go all the way back to Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, one of the things that God says is that he's chosen Abraham because he'll teach his kids after them. And so this is a similar way of Jesus saying, guys, the way of discipleship is the way of teaching children. And it doesn't have to be that everybody's married and has kids, but every Christian values children and sees in them the next generation and sees responsibility to be a part of teaching them the faith and passing it on. And just one more thing connected to that would be this sense that one of the reasons we have children is for the future. We should be thinking about this world after we die. You know, not just, oh, am I going to have my best life? Am I going to hit my bucket list? Or, you know, am I a good Christian? But what am I leaving behind? And I think one of the things a Christian should say, hopefully, is that they leave behind their impact on the future generation. Again, whether it's a biological child or whether it's somebody in the next generation that you've poured your life into, Jesus is saying this is absolutely crucial to life in the kingdom. And then he shifts a little bit and says, well, guys, you're missing it because the kingdom belongs to these. The kingdom belongs to little kids. And it's a wonderful moment because it says Jesus took the kids in his arms and embraced them. And he says, unless you receive the kingdom like one of these, you can't enter it. Well, what is Jesus talking about? I think a lot of times people have taken that to mean, oh, children are innocent and we should receive the kingdom innocently. I don't know how many children you've known, but I would rarely describe them as innocent. I think what Jesus is trying to get at is in his world, children were, they were humble in the sense that they were entirely dependent. They were in a place of absolute need and absolute dependence. And because of that, sort of an absolute confidence on their parents or the people around them. And so I don't know that it's necessarily Jesus is telling us to be innocent so much as he's telling us that you do not deserve the kingdom and nothing you can do can get you the kingdom or get you to a place where God would go, oh yeah, he's doing good enough that I'll let him in my kingdom. We don't deserve it. We're not innocent. But as a father, having adopted us through Jesus, the father gladly wants to provide everything that we need for life and everything we need to live a life that pleases him. And so I think what Jesus is encouraging here is humble dependence on God for everything that matters. Humble and simple asking God for everything we need. And humble and simple receiving, taking everything that he gives us so that we can serve him. So may we do what Jesus says, and may we welcome children in every way possible. And may we become like children in our simple trust in our Father who wants to give us everything that is good for life and godliness. Amen.